This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
So, yes, as Matthew mentioned, the twofold nature of the prophetic references to David. There is the immediate and the ultimate. And the immediate is where David is often used for judging and weighing the current kings. So when a king came, often actually it was once the king had died and the kind of summary of his reign was being recorded, it would either be recorded that he had walked in the ways of his father David and had been righteous and done what was right, or he had not walked in the way of David. So we're going to have a look at some of these references from the historic books. The first is in 1 Kings 15:11. I'll just read these out because it's jumping around a bit. So this is about the king Asa, or Asa. It says, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. And in 2 Kings 18:1 and 3, it says, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So again, these two kings were compared to David. A couple more. There's Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3. It says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals. And King Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34, 1-3, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherah poles, carved idols and cast images. So these good kings then, they're all compared to David. And the plumb line that is used is they did what was right because they continued the way that David had reigned. There was a quality about them that was similar to the qualities of David. David, again, as we looked at before, who was held up as the man after God's own heart, the king who reigned and brought in, you know, the worship of God and all these qualities that we looked at that were reflective of the ultimate kingdom that was going to come in Christ. But it's also used of bad kings. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1. It's interesting that he's used far more in reference towards the good kings than he is towards the bad kings. And I think there's a point to be made there. But in 2 Chronicles 28:1, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike his father David, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So, even in the historic writings, David is held up as a kind of litmus test. Did he do the things David did? Tick. He's a good king. Did he not do the things that David did? Or did he abandon the things that David did, which was often the case, and institute worship of other gods rather than the true God, and lead the people of God astray? Then it was a cross. Not like David. Like David, tick. Not like David, cross. And this is picked up by the prophets. I want to look at one prophecy that is recorded in the historic books. It's in 1 Kings 11, so if you'd like to turn to that. And this is by a prophet called Ahijah. It's interesting, the prophets whose names are similar to Elijah in one way or another. You've got Elijah and Elijah. You've got Ahijah, Abijah. It's like, take Elijah and alter it slightly, and you've probably got a name of a prophet somewhere in the Bible.
It must be a Facebook app, didn't it? What's your Old Testament prophet name?
Name, yeah, that's right. That's it, yeah. Substitute one of your own syllables into Elijah. Yep. So, yeah, 1 Kings... Let me find... 1 Kings 11... 30-39. So this is a prophecy that was given to Jeroboam while the kingdom was still united, just after Solomon had died and Rehoboam was about to take the throne. 1 Kings 11:30-39. Yeah, got it. So then Ahijah laid hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight and keeping my statutes and my rules, as David his father did. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but will make him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it to you, 10 tribes. Yet to his son I will give one tribe, that David, my servant, may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to put my name. And I will take you, and you shall reign over all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. And if you will listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and will build you a sure house, as I built for David. And I will give Israel to you, and I will afflict the offspring of David because of this, but not forever. Interesting to notice in that prophecy just how many times the prophet makes reference back to David, and gives Jeroboam this promise that if he walks in the ways of David, then his house will be secure and established and firmed. And of course we know from the history that he didn't. He abandoned the ways of David and he set up these golden calves for the people of Israel to worship, and so that they wouldn't go back to Jerusalem, because he was afraid that if they went back they would go back to following David's descendants. That was the the stature and the weight that, even this wicked king gave to the lineage of David, that he did this to try and stop the people from returning. And yet God had promised that if he walked in the same ways, even his line would have been established. We also notice here that God is still committed to his covenant to David, that even though Rehoboam is about to make a huge mistake and divide the kingdom forever. God's promise is that he will never fail to have a descendant sit on the throne, which again we know has an immediate and an ultimate fulfillment. The immediate fulfillment was that the line of kings in Judah always did follow David's succession. It wasn't like the line of Israel where one king was wiped out and succeeded by whoever it was who had killed him off, and then he got killed off and replaced by someone else, and you have these sort of short lineages that don't last and aren't established. In Judah, it follows on because of the covenants that he had made with him. In 2 Chronicles 13:5, it says, "Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt?" And so God has this unbreakable covenant with David, that this kingdom that was measured by its righteousness, that wouldn't be cut off, that would endure forever, that wouldn't be diverted by unrighteousness the way the northern kingdom was, that was upheld forever on the basis of the covenant of the Lord. You can see how this prophetic, historic kingdom of David becomes the basis for a prophetic expectation of the kingdom of Christ and the Messiah that was to come.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.